Good morning again. Once again, my name is Daniel Shanks. I'm one of the associate pastors here. I'm going to take a moment and I just want to say thank you. I told you guys we're going to annual conference. This year, I am getting ordained at annual conference. Thank you. People keep asking me what that means. I'm still a pastor. I'm just ordained in the United Methodist Church. It's the best way I can describe it is it's very similar to tenure. They're basically required to offer me a position somewhere in Missouri once I've been ordained, unless I do something horrible, right? No, I'm not leaving. So I'm here just like Greg for the next year. Yes. The reason I'm telling you this, people keep like, you're getting ordained, are you leaving? I'm like, not that I know of yet. I mean, like, so there's always a potential, but no, I'm here. And I also just, like, they evaluated me for ordination based on the work that I've been doing with you guys. So for the last 3 years that I've been working with you, I've gotten to know you guys, I've gotten to grow with you guys, and you guys have not only been teaching me, but you've also helped me get there. So once again, thank you very much. It's like a 7-year journey. So you guys are amazing. I'm trying not to cry, give me a minute. Okay, I'm good. We are finishing our sermon series on invite today. That sounds exactly like what it is. For the last couple weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be invitational, like why as Christians we are called to invite people to be a part of the work that we're doing in the world, the work that God is doing in the world, that we're working with God to do. Why is that important? And Pastor Michael actually started it off really well on Pentecost Sunday. He started talking about how when people encounter Christ, they are transformed, and inviting people into that helps people be transformed, helps people change and grow. And then last week, Pastor Greg, I thought it was one of the better sermons that I've heard him preach, truthfully. It was amazing. He talked about the woman at the well, and he talked about what happens when people encounter Christ and how that works. So he kind of gave us the how to an invite. And so today, I mean, I'm standing up here. It's week 3. We've already covered everything. You guys should know how to invite everyone. You guys are good. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be giving you some of my thoughts, some of my reasonings behind why I still am kind of nervous to invite people to church sometimes, and I hopefully you'll be able to see some parallels and maybe you'll get something out of it. And just so we're all aware, this is the perfect time to be talking about invitation. We are in the season of Pentecost. I know not a lot of people pay attention to church seasons quite as much as I do, but Easter Sunday starts the Easter season. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that that tomb was empty. During the season of Easter, we talk about how people were nervous. They didn't know what to believe, and Jesus started appearing to them. He started showing up. He spent time with his followers. He taught them things. And then Scripture says that after Jesus had spent that time with them, after he had taught them what they needed to know, he ascended into heaven. And he didn't take them with them, which I think they were really bummed out about. Jesus said, go, wait in Jerusalem. Something important is going to happen. And that's where the season of Pentecost enters, because while they were waiting in Jerusalem, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them like tongues of fire above their head. They had an encounter. The Holy Spirit is just the presence of God. The very presence of God came and fell upon the followers of Christ, and suddenly they were able to speak. They were able to speak and tell the gospel story, the good news, the story about Jesus' life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. They were able to tell this story, but people understood them in their own languages. People started hearing this amazing story about Christ, this amazing story about transformation in their own language. And through the Holy Spirit, those followers were able and equipped to go out and invite people into that story that had changed them and can change the world. So when we're talking about invite today, please know that this is very much a part of our Christian heritage. This is something that we get to celebrate on a yearly basis. It also occurs to me, though, that although this is the right time, this is the right place to be having this conversation, that invite is still something that we don't fully understand. Being invitational is still something we have questions about. I mean, we keep having sermon series on it. But I want you to know that even I have issues inviting people pretty regularly, actually. And there are some valid reasons for that. I think people feel like when they get embarrassed, nervous, or anxious that they're doing something wrong. And the truth is, no, I think you're just kind of being attuned to the people you're talking to. You see, I got asked when I was in high school by my youth pastor. He's like, hey, Dan, start inviting friends from school. Come to youth group. And I'm like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. I like youth group. They should see that. And then I had an awareness. I started getting nervous because although I wanted to invite them, I didn't know if my friends would be welcome in church. That's a fear that I think a lot of us have. We all know that one person who probably needs to be in church, but you're afraid if they come in that the church is going to reject them. You know what I'm talking about? It's the same friend who thinks that if they come to church, they will suddenly light on fire. Yeah. I'm afraid of lightning is what I get a lot. Like, it's okay, we have a lightning rod. But we have these fears. We're afraid that sometimes the people that need to be here won't be accepted, or if they come here, they won't like what they see. That's another real thing. I have a lot of non-Christian friends, and some of them are just like, I'm probably the closest thing that they will ever get to church, to be very honest with you. I'm going to make a horrible analogy because I don't want to downplay this understanding of how some people don't like the church. How many of you are Star Trek fans? More than last service. When? Do you guys remember the Borg? You're like, yeah. How many of you guys are Doctor Who fans? It's like three of you, four or five, okay, more. The Cybermen, these two characters that I've just told you about are villains in two fictional universes. They're not real. I learned that because I was afraid of them for a very long time. But to give you a brief explanation, they were essentially robot vampires. Yeah, and you're like, why is this relevant, Dan? It is, trust me. Robot vampires, when the Borg touched you, you became a Borg. They assimilated you into the hive mind. The same thing with the Cybermen. If they touched you, you became one of them. Friends, we have friends that think that's what church is. They're afraid to come here because they're like, man, I'm going to touch something, and then I'm going to be like preaching on the sidewalk, and that's not good. We have friends who are literally afraid to come here. And I'm telling you this because A, it's kind of funny, B, it's kind of true, and quite frankly, I think when we talk about invite, we ignore the fact that, yeah, there are certain things that make us uncomfortable about it. But the real thing that I learned when talking about this, and I can't believe this is coming out of my mouth, there are friends in your life that do not need to be invited to church yet. I'm going to say that again, and then I'm going to explain it so you don't beat me up. There are friends in your life right now that do not need to be invited to church yet. That does not mean that they are not ready to encounter Christ. Now I'm going to back this up a little bit. I'm going to show you a photo. The first time I met my father-in-law, his name is Brian. Brian put me in a bite sleeve and sent his police dog after me. This was my boyfriend test. Yeah, laugh it up. It's terrifying. This was the first time I met this man. Now, do you want to know why I'm married today? Why I married his daughter after this? Because she didn't take me on one date and then introduce me to him. She waited a little bit. She let me get to know her. She encouraged me. She told me what to expect. She said, my dad's a police officer. He has a dog. I'm really glad I knew that before I showed up at the house. When I tell you that there are friends that you have that aren't ready to be in church, it's not that church is not right for them. It's not that church is a bad place. It's that you may need to develop the relationship a little bit before they get here. Any of you ever said, I love you too early in a relationship? Same thing. Michael actually said that. He's like, when you invite people to church, it's like telling them you love them. I'm like, sometimes you got to start with coffee. Right? Someone told me a joke one time. They said, like, they were hanging out with this friend for the first time. They were at coffee, and the person invited them to church to meet and know Jesus Christ. And he's like, we just started this relationship, and now you're including more people in it. I can't handle this. Friends, church is absolutely a place you should be inviting people. But it's not the only place you should be inviting people. The reason we get anxious when we talk about invitation is because we understand what it means to be invited. That's a good feeling. That's a good thing. It's empowering. It means you are a part of something. Have you guys ever been invited to anything? Have you ever been invited to a party? Remember the, like, even if you didn't want to go to the party, you're like, someone likes me and wants to invite me somewhere. We understand the power of invitation. The reason we get nervous about it is because I think a lot of times our concept of invitation, this idea, the power of it, doesn't fit through the church doors. How many days a week do you guys go to church? Be honest. What? Yeah, you work here, that's different. Most of us are only here once a week. Guess where 90% of your time is spent? I'm not good at math, don't like check that. 90% of your time is spent outside of this church building. That means you have 90% of your time that you can invite people to be a part of their faith, of your faith. Invitation is not bound to church. Every time we talk about it, invite your friends to church, invite your friends to church. Yeah, do that. But also, here's the thing. We have a table. That's awesome. You also have a table. Did you know that? We eat meals together. Invite your friend to your table and then invite them to this table. This is important because what I'm getting at is that our faith does not stop here. You can't invite someone to something when you don't practice it elsewhere. I'm going to read you some scripture today. I know you are all surprised by that. I just told you about Pentecost Sunday when the Spirit came upon the followers of Christ and they were empowered and started preaching. I'm going to pick up right after that because you see what happened is when they started talking, they were pretty loud. And they're all speaking different languages or people are hearing different languages. We don't know. It was chaotic. And what we know is that people heard them. Right? And people didn't have cable back then. People were like, there's noise. Let's go see what's going on. And they showed up and they started listening. And you know what their first response was? These guys are drunk. And then Peter, who is also now filled with the Holy Spirit. I love Peter. Peter comes out and gives the best logic of all time. He says, guys, they're not drunk. It's 9 a.m. Peter's been drinking too. And he starts preaching to them. Peter literally just like receives the Holy Spirit with the rest of these guys and he goes out and he starts preaching in the street, okay? He starts giving a sermon. He starts proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to non-Jews, to whoever's around listening to him. And that's where we're gonna pick up is at the very last sentence of his sermon. This is Acts chapter 2 and we're gonna start at verse 36 and we're gonna go to 47. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes, for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. People. We have roughly between two services here, I think 500 to 600, kind of in that window on a normal Sunday. On membership rolls here, I think we have around 1,000 people. So that's three times the size of Living Word's potential. One day. When Michael talked about the transformational power of a relationship with God. He wasn't kidding. Like, this story testifies to that. People encountered Christ through Peter that day. And Peter simply asked them to repent. Now, when I say that, I've always wanted to be like the guy in church who like yells like, repent! But the truth is, like, that word has been so abused. It's an ugly word for us, but all it means is to be better, to change what you're doing. Like, all of us know that we have flaws, right? No hands? Okay, never mind. All of us have flaws. All of us know how we can be better. All of us know that there are things in our lives that we need to be improving on. When we talk about repenting, we're talking about turning away from the things that don't give us life, that don't bring life to other people. Peter's literally said, hey, there's a better way. Try this. And people responded. Okay? Now, here's the amazing thing. We just went from people in a room to like 3,000 to starting this little community where people are selling their stuff. They're living together. And did you hear the part that it said where they went to the temple daily? I asked Pastor Michael if we could do that. He said yes, but I don't think anyone will show up. They were meeting daily for worship. I want you to know that worship is a big part of what we do. It's where people who are believers gather. It's where we experience God with one another. It's where we're reminded that we are not alone. And did you notice what happened after they said people met in the temple? It said they broke bread together in each other's homes. They were doing the communion meals in each other's homes. They broke the bread. They remembered Jesus' words. They poured the cup. They remembered. They experienced Christ at that table, just like we do today. They experienced it with each other. Now, that may not seem all that amazing to you, but friends, what I just heard is that church happens outside of the church building. This is something that I think we still struggle with. A lot of us, we focus on God when we're here. And then when we leave, it's like we think God stays with us. But friends, the joy of the Holy Spirit is that God's presence is with us. God, there's never been a moment in your life where God has not been with you. When you start understanding that, when you start developing a relationship with God, that Holy Spirit starts to empower you. It starts to change you. It helps you repent. It starts to make you see that God is not only with you, but that God is with the people you're talking to. The Holy Spirit connects us all. That is the good news today. God's presence is with us, constantly transforming us and asking us to be in relationship with other people. When we talk about invitation, I think we get hung up on the fact that like we're supposed to be doing the hard work. When I was younger, I was told all the time, like, we got to go do this. We got to go save some souls. Friends, I've never had the authority or the power to save a soul in my life, and I'm really glad for that. Do you know who saves souls? The Holy Spirit. All you have to do is be in relationship with people and invite them to be a part of what you've experienced. You have to tell your story. God does the rest. And it's not just welcome to church, it's welcome to my home. I'll be very honest with you. I have had more holy moments outside of the church than I have in the church. That is something that we must start to comprehend, because you can invite people to church all day long. They may not be ready. But there are places where you are where they are ready. That's a big deal. What can you do about it? Pay attention. If you want to take like a personal, like, what do I need to do to be better at invite? First of all, friends, you have to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is with you. I think a lot of times the reason we get nervous is we think we're alone. We don't recognize the fact that God is with us. I'm telling you right now, God is in this place. God is working through me. God is working through you. And God is not going to be bound by these walls. God is going to get out of this building and go work with every other person that you encounter throughout the week. And if you start paying attention to that and realizing that, I guarantee you, you will start seeing things differently. You will start seeing miracles in places you never thought. You will start seeing change happen. You will see the transformation that God is actively doing in this world. If you look at Jesus' ministry, he came to proclaim the kingdom of God. It wasn't something he brought. He came to proclaim it. It was already here. There is a way that things can and should be. That's what Jesus came to proclaim. Jesus didn't come to proclaim the house of the Lord. He came to proclaim the kingdom of God. The house of the Lord is in that kingdom. Now, what does this mean for us as a church? How do we as a church equip people to be invitational? How do we help people invite others? Truth is, we really do have to work on being more welcoming. Have you ever been welcomed into someone's home, but you really weren't welcomed? Have you noticed that? Have you ever had that experience? There's different people mean different things when they say welcome. There's welcome, make yourself at home. There's welcome, come join us, we're doing this. There's also welcome, I'm not gonna stone you, right? You're allowed to be here, but I don't like it. For a long time, the church has had this kind of understanding, like, oh, everyone's welcome, but we're not gonna be happy about it. We've all been there. You know what I'm talking about. The church has got to put away our stones. We have to start actually welcoming people, because quite frankly, we've been asking people to be invitational. Hey, invite your friends. We're not gonna like them, though. That doesn't work. We have got to learn to be in relationship with people. Don't be my father-in-law. When someone comes here, love on them. Don't worry about them, just love on them. Remember, your job is not to fix anyone. Our job as a church is not to fix people. It is to prepare a place where the community of believers reflects the image of God. When people come here who think differently than us, who maybe are terrified of the church, don't give them reason to be. When they come here, they will experience God. Have faith that the Holy Spirit is working on that person. The other thing that we have to do, and I've kind of talked about this a little bit, we are not a well. Pastor Greg kind of talked about this a little bit. The church is not a well. This is not a place where God is, and then we come to church with our bucket, and we get a little bit of Jesus, and we go back out, and we throw it on people. That's not how the church works. Church is not a well. Okay? And don't throw things at people. But the church is not a well because it is a spring. It is living. The church is not a well. It is not a point. It is a source. I just told you the love of God will not be contained by this. The Holy Spirit is not bound to this building. The Holy Spirit, like a fountain, is literally at the brims, forcing its way out our doors, clinging to us, going with us out into our communities. We need to know that, because when you know that, this idea of inviting people to church becomes more than just, hey, I'll see you on Sunday. When you look around and you realize that you're at your house, and you're ankle deep in the Spirit and your friends with you, that changes the game, friends. We do need to be inviting people. Some people need coffee. Some people do need to come to church. Some people just need to be loved on. Because until they realize that this is a safe place, and until this is a safe place, it may not be the best place for them. Different people have different needs. But please know this. When you invite people, whether it be to church, whether it be to a picnic in the park, whether it be to get a snow cone with a friend, whether it be to a ball game, whether it be to a movie, dinner, what have you, when people encounter Jesus Christ, when they encounter God and they recognize that for what it is, when they see God, there is a moment they will never forget. They will be transformed. It will change who they are. Your job is simply to point out all the different places you are seeing God and invite them to see God as well. God is with us, and God is working, and God is going to continue to work. Let's be a part of it. Let's be a place where people see God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We do thank you for this place where we can gather in your name, where we can celebrate with one another, where we can learn with one another, and where we can try to love one another, where we can learn to be loved better, and where we can see you at work. We do pray that you would bless us as we go forth from here, as we encounter other people, as we encounter the good things in this world and the bad things. And Lord, we ask that you would frame our reality so that we may always see you wherever we are, for you are always with us. We love you, we thank you, and in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.